Only way to be happy really is to trust Him. And in our trust, we learn to obey Him. And sometimes that takes a little bit more effort, more work than some other things that we do in our life. But to trust and obey the Lord, we have fellowship with Him. Tonight, if you would, take your Bibles, turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 1. Isaiah, chapter number 1. I'm going to just read one verse to start with tonight and look at verse number 18. It's a verse that is very, very much used in the Scripture from everyone. It gives us here the call of the Lord, the invitation of the Lord. And He tells us in verse 18, Isaiah chapter 1, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool, if you be willing and obedient." That goes right along with the last song. If you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Tonight I want us to look at one little word, really. And it's an invitation that the Lord brings and gives to us all through the Scripture. Someone has said that the word "come" is the Lord's favorite invitation in the Bible. And there's many, many instances, and this passage is just one of many in the Scripture that gives us the call of the Lord for us to come unto Him. And I'm thinking in the next 3 or 4 weeks, maybe we'll just look at some of these instances where the Lord tells us to come to Him for different things and for different reasons. When we are in need, He tells us that we can come to Him. When we have pressures of life, thank God we can go to the Lord. And there's many passages and many things given to us in the Scripture concerning the Lord's invitation to us. And this passage is the really probably the kickoff or the start that we would want to look at. And I just put on this one tonight. This is His invitation for cleansing. And He says, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." And so the cleansing of the Lord, and of course that comes in our salvation. The passage here starts with the Lord inviting. He says, "Come now." Don't put it off. Don't wait till later, but come now. And He says that we can have that cleansing in our heart. The Scripture tells us that we have a problem in our life, and Isaiah chapter 1 lays out that problem pretty specifically concerning us coming unto the Lord. And we'll look at that a moment now, and then a little bit later. But verse number 3 of that chapter, it says, "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider." He says, even the animals of the field know who their owner is, they know who their provider is, they know who the one takes care of them, and they will recognize that. But He says, Israel, the people of the Lord, He says, they don't even consider. They don't know who is really on their side. And then He lays out here in verse 4, He says, "Ah, sinful nation." And so the beast of the field and the things around us recognize the power of our God. But Israel would not adhere to Him, and neither does most many people today, even in our land. The nation is sinful. The people are laden with iniquity. They are a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken any more? Will you revolt more and more? The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. Notice verse number 6. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. The result of man turning away from God is a desolate country, a country that has no direction, a country that has no understanding of what is taking place. And as a child of God, we came to the Lord one time because he said, come, those that are heavy laden. He came to us and he says, though your sins be as scarlet, they can be washed, they can be cleansed as white as snow. And so tonight, I don't know if we'll get through all the things that I have laid out for this particular time tonight. We'll just stop and take it up as we continue on. But there's some questions that we can ask, and very good questions in a lot of areas of life. And that first question is, who is doing the talking here? Is it Isaiah? Is he the one that is really doing the speaking? The scripture in verse number 18 answers that question itself. It says, saith the Lord. Isaiah was the spokesman. Isaiah was the one writing. Isaiah was the prophet of God during that time, and he was the one used of God in that time. And he was just a spokesman that the Lord had chosen and had given. But it is God, it is the Lord that is doing the speaking. And he tells us in verse number 18, saith the Lord. And you'll notice the word Lord there is all capitals. All the letters are capitals. And we've gone over that many, many times. That just simply means it's Jehovah God. He is the Lord that's speaking to Israel at this time was Jehovah. It was not Allah. It was not Buddha. It was God. And he says, I'm telling you, though your sins be as scarlet, they can be white as snow. Come now, let us reason together. It's a very reasonable thing to consider what the Lord has for us. It's a very reasonable thing for us to look at both sides of the picture, and sometimes as a non-believer, they begin to reason things out, and we're not saved by reason. We're saved by faith, but there are certain elements that we can reason with the Lord, and we'll find out that he is always correct. He is always right. And he is very reasonable in his actions toward us. And so this Lord that is speaking here, he's the creator. He is the one that spoke the worlds into existence. He is the one that started the light. He is the one that gave us the sun. He is that all-powerful one that has control of everything that takes place. He is that sovereign God that we have in our scripture. He is omnipotent. The word omnipotent means all-powerful. There's no one, there's nothing, there's no entity any more powerful than our God. He is omnipotent. The devil is powerful, the devil is strong, but he is not all-powerful. Our God is all-powerful. That's everything in him. Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. And so we find that he is that omnipotent one. He's the omnipresent one. He's present everywhere at the same time. Here it is, 7:25 on this side of the world. The sun's going down. On the other side of the world, the sun is coming up. And it's 7 or 8:25 there. And guess what? God's just as real there as he is here. And all the land in between and everywhere in between that. And so we find that he is the God that is all present with us, and he's the God that knows all. He could tell Israel, he says, you're a sinful nation. He could do that because he knew every action that they had. He could tell them that their sins were scarlet red. Now, we talk about sin being black, black as sin. God calls it red. And he says it's a scarlet sin. And so we find that he is that one that knows all about us. He is the one that knows the details of our heart. He's the one that knows the name of every person living right now. He knows what's going on in Florida, Texas, and those other areas. He knows all the things that are happening in those cities. He knows those that are praising the Lord. He knows those that are cursing the Lord. He has that ability. He knows all. He is that one that is omniscient. And so we find he is the one that says, come now, let us reason together. If he is everywhere at the same time, if he's all-powerful, if he knows it all, certainly he has a right to call us to come unto him. He has that right for us to have the call given out unto him. And so we find he is the one that sent his son, Jesus Christ, and literally Jesus was God in the flesh. And there he says, saith the Lord, it is literally the Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ that's saying, come now, let us reason together. I don't know of a better thing that could be said. When the person is at odds with someone else, the best thing you can do is sit down and just reason it out. When a person has a difficulty with someone else, it's not that you go fuss about it. It's not that you ought to go try to destroy that other person's credibility. But the best thing that could be done and should be done is that you sit down and reason it out. And that's exactly what the Lord has invited sinners to do. Just come and reason out these things together. Even in the New Testament, the Lord carries that over to us, where if there's conflicts between Christians, we ought to be able to sit down and take care of the matter. We ought to be able to reason it out. We ought to be able to take care of those conflicts and those problems, because we are individuals. We have different thoughts. We have different ways, different ideas. And so therefore there will be differences. But in doing that, we ought not to have such an attitude that I'm always on top. I'm always the right one. I'm not going to give any. I'm not going to give in any. Everybody else can do what they want. That's not the Christian. That's not godly way. He says, let us reason first of all with him, and then secondly with one another. And because we are all in the same boat, the necessity. The Lord said it, and the reason he said it is because the sin has separated us from God. We just read there in those first few verses of Isaiah chapter 1, talks about the sins of the people of Israel. Later on, in chapter number 59 of Isaiah, verse 2 says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. He doesn't say he's separated between you and God. It's your God. It's Israel's God. It's our God. And our sins have separated us between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you. And he will not hear. He does not listen. He will not hear to us as our sins are before him. We find that there are folks tonight that still would not adhere to the things of the Lord. So the Bible, Jesus said, you're of your father the devil. There's two forces, there's two persons. One's God, one's the devil. If we're not of the Lord, then we're of the wicked one. There's no in-between ground. John 8:44 says, you are of your father the devil, the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Not a whole lot of, not anything good said there about their father. We have a heavenly father. Thank the Lord for that. We have one we can call upon, one that we know that he will hear us and he will answer us. And he says, if you don't turn from your sin, then I'll deafen my ear to your cry. But those that know him not, they are of their father, the devil. And he tells us here a lot of things about the devil. He's a murderer. Not only did he become a murderer, but he's a murderer from the beginning. And he did not abide in the truth. He was Lucifer was that created angelic being of heaven. He didn't abide in the truth. He rebelled against God and took a third of the heavens with him. So he did not abide in the truth. And he's, and the Lord says the reason he cannot do that is because there is no truth in him. Have you ever met someone? Have you ever talked to someone? Have you ever heard someone say, well, you can't believe a word they say? I just say to me, there's no truth in them. And Jesus said that that is the attributes, that's the ways of the wicked one. He said when he speaks a lie, and he speaks of his own, because he is a liar. And he's the father of it. And so we find here the reason the Lord says, come now, is because of the sin of life and the inability to be able to come to the Lord by ourselves. We must be, I believe, called of the Lord. We're outside of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short. of the glory of God. They're lost without the Lord. And the scripture says in Matthew 18 and verse number 11, Jesus says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Another place he says, "I didn't come to call the righteous, but to call sinners." If the Lord had come to call only the righteous, you know who would have come? No one. Now, there's a lot of people who think they're righteous. A lot of people have a self-righteousness, but we have no righteousness of our own. And so the Lord, when he came, he said, "I didn't come to call the righteous. I didn't come to call those that were perfect." He said, "I came to call sinners." Thank God you and I tonight, we're of that crowd called sinners. And he saved us by his marvelous grace. And he's come that we might have life, because we need a cleansing. 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 7. "But if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Come now, let's reason together. And when we do that, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will cleanse us from our sin. We'll be made pure. We'll be made whole. We'll be made righteous in the sight of God. Not our righteousness, but the righteousness of the Lord has been given or imputed unto us as a result of coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. When does that happen? I believe that happens immediately when you trust the Lord. When you get saved, you get all the saved that you can get. When you get saved, you've got it all. And thank God he cleanses us spiritually, and he takes care of us in every possible way. And if we confess our sins, the Bible says he is faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If we were to take a piece of paper tonight and just start it here somewhere, and nobody know who would be first, and if we would list and be honest with ourselves and honest with being able for somebody to read what is in our heart, now we'll never do that. Would you write down all your sins? I'm not going to write mine down, because I know people well enough, somebody figure it out. They figure out who it is, then they go talk about you. But the Lord knows your sins, and he says, "I'll give you the righteousness of the Lord." He says, "I'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness." 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17 says, "Therefore, if a man be in Christ," what does that mean? If a man's saved, if he's born again, "he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Mark chapter 1 gives us an illustration of a man coming and bowing to the Lord. There in Mark chapter 1, verse number 40, "There came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him and saying to him, 'If thou will, thou canst make me clean.'" Lord, if you will, you canst make me clean. And Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, "I will, be thou clean." Come now, let us reason. That man came, he says, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus said, "I will do it." And just on his word, "be thou clean." And the Bible says, and as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Lord, if you will. And the Lord said, "I will." And just on the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, "be thou clean," immediately his leprosy was gone. That's how it happens in salvation. Lord, I come to you. And the Lord said, "be thou clean." And immediately, thank God, immediately we become a child of God. We become a citizen of a new country. We change positions as far as our place in life. We leave the old land. We leave the land of desertion behind us. And we set out and take that land that he has given unto us, just simply because he said, "I will." When did he do that? When did he say, I will? I think he did it on the cross of Calvary. When Jesus died, he said to the world, I will, be thou clean. And all we have to do is come and reason together with him. The Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 37, all that the Father giveth me, he shall come to me. And there's a coming unto the Lord. All the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, thank the Lord, these next few words, I will in no wise cast out. Everyone that comes to the Lord says, I'll take them in. I've dealt with people, and maybe some of you have, that have dealt with lost people. I've dealt with people that say, well, I've done too much, the Lord wouldn't take me. And the Lord said, yes, I will take you. I've been too bad of a sinner. There's no such thing as a good sinner, so we're just sinners. We're just sinners, good, bad, in between, whatever you want to call it. We're all sinners, and God looks at us as ungodly, and he says, all that will come to me, I will in no wise will I cast out. He's not going to refuse anyone that comes with a repentant heart and a belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, having faith in the Son of God. The Lord will never cast that individual out. He'll say, come in. Come now, let us reason together. Well, what happens when that takes place? You say, well, I get saved. I become a new creature. I want to just give you a few things, and I'm not probably won't get all these done because I'm not going to be able to do that, but I want to just talk about just a few things about what happens when this cleansing takes place. We have a new life. We have a new home. We have everything new. And the Bible says in the book of Micah, Old Testament, chapter 7, who is a God like unto thee? Who's like the Lord? Well, there's no one. We've already established that. He says, that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. Who is he? Who would do that? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Our God delights in showing mercy to someone that will come. The Lord enjoys someone coming unto him. The Bible says there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one soul that comes to know Christ. I've heard people say the angels rejoice in heaven when somebody says, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says rejoicing in the presence of angels. You know who's rejoicing when somebody gets saved out here on earth? It's those that have already gone on, and the Lord's let them know there's another one that's come into the family. And there's rejoicing, I believe, all over the portals of glory. And the angels are standing there in awe and amazement. They don't understand that, for they have never had to be redeemed. But you and I, we have an experience with the Lord that makes it so much better. Who is a God that will pardon iniquity? Who is a God that will passeth by the transgression? Who is a God that will not continually be angry? It's our God. And he's not angry all the time, because he delighteth in mercy. The mercy of the Lord. Micah 7:19, that part of that verse says, he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And we all know this little portion of verse. We quote it, but many times we don't know where it's from. And the Bible says, and thou wilt cast all their sins into what? The depth of the sea. When we get saved, God takes our sin and he throws them away. Praise the Lord. I'd hate to be part of this crowd that's not sure they're going to heaven. I'm glad I have an assurance of knowing what the Lord has done for me. And the scripture says, to the depth of the sea. Well, I looked up a little bit. It is known that the Pacific Ocean in one place is over 26,000 feet deep. And I still believe that he probably put them in the depth of the sea. He's thrown them away, and he's not going to bring them up to us again. Any man that's ever been afar off has now been affected by the grace of the Lord. His past will not be remembered against him. Jesus can say, I forgive and I forget, and he literally does that. We have the testimony of God stating that we belong to him. He heals our heart. He heals our mind. And literally, we become his with all the ability that he gives unto us. And so when this takes place, when that cleansing, we come to the Lord, we reason together, we find out how sinful we are. All you have to do is look at the Word of God and you find out how wicked we really are. We're not as good as we think we are. We dress up pretty good, but inside, the Lord told those Pharisees, he said, you clean up the outside pretty well, but inside is still full of iniquities, and he categorized it as dead men bones. And the Lord said, you look pretty good outside, but inside there's a problem. But when you come to know the Lord and you come to him and you realize that you are a sinner, you realize that he desires to show you mercy and you have the cleansing of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of a sudden, my sins are gone. You ask me why I'm happy, I will tell you why. My sins are gone. How many times have we sang that song here in this church? You ask me why I'm happy, I'll just tell you why. It's because my sins are gone. If you're saved tonight, if you're born again tonight, you can rejoice in the fact that your sins are gone. Where'd he put them? In the depth of the sea. There's some other places that we'll look at later, next Wednesday maybe, and we'll continue on this and just do a few studies on this little word, this invitation that the Lord says to come. And when we come, he takes our sins and he throws them in the depth of the sea. And there's some other places that illustrates to us what he does with them, and we'll look at those next week along with some other things. So let's stand together tonight. Do remember.